Welcome to another edition of the Cyclone Fanatic Podcast. It is episode number 56 of Stands and Fits, presented by the Professional MBA Program at the Ivy College of Business at Iowa State University. What's up, man?
How's it going?
Pretty good, dude.
Slow week for Cyclone Fanatic, probably just because the basketball team doesn't play again until Saturday, huh?
It never stops. It seems like maybe it would slow down, but it never stops.
Mm-hmm. At least you get a little break from the typical, you know, preview recap kind of thing.
Yeah, that is nice. I like the routine though.
Mm-hmm.
That's always good. That's my favorite thing about football season. It's the same every week.
Yeah.
Basketball is just a little bit different in that sense. But obviously Iowa State coming off the loss to TCU on Saturday. I wrote after the game that I think that was probably the most disappointing home performance of the Steve Prohm era. I think that I still stand by that.
I think I don't know. I didn't read your article, but I would say that
way to be a company man.
Sorry, but the Milwaukee loss last year in the non-con was obviously very bad. But I think, given the stakes of what we're at in this point of the season, I think I definitely agree.
Yeah, and that's what I was kind of thinking of. It's like they have definitely played worse in home games. I think that you can point to that game. You can point to the Tennessee game last year when they got beat by like 30 or whatever it was. To where you can look at that game on Saturday and be like, man, shouldn't have lost that one. You know. And I'm not trying to say that by any means is a case. And I'm not going to by any means say that they played well.
Mm.
But I don't think that they played as poorly either as what maybe it was, you know, like the initial thought was.
Yeah.
And it was like they did not play well. But I think TCU played better than what they've played almost the entire season.
Yeah. Iowa State's defense obviously has a lot of holes to patch up, but I think TCU really took advantage of every opportunity they had to score the ball.
Right. I should also note that we are in the Carl Chevrolet Studios right now.
Of course, always.
In Ankeny, as always, recording this podcast on a blustery February day.
Yes. Anywho.
But yeah, no, TCU... And I think that you saw, anybody who watched the game that they played against Kansas on Monday, you saw that a lot of shots that they were making maybe are not shots that they make every single game.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you got to tip your cap to them on that sense. Like, they played a good game. And, you know, Noy was knocking down threes against Iowa State. And, you know, Alex Robinson and Kendrick Davis were both making some of those shots where there were runners off the backboard and stuff like that. That you just kind of like they were happening. It's like, man, this can't buy a break right now. You're getting them all the way down to the end of the shot clock and you just can't buy a break.
And then coupled with Iowa State having a pretty off day shooting the ball too, it just made the final score look much worse than it probably actually was.
Yeah. And I think that's what's concerning for me a little bit coming out of Saturday, is knowing that they can have a performance when it's like everybody is off, you know? And that's really what it was. Nobody, outside of maybe Michael Jacobson, nobody played well, especially offensively.
Iowa State needs to have at least one of their guards play well. I think that's kind of proven at this point.
Well, and if you get the normal output from the floor that Nick Weiler-Babb or that Shayok gives you, then you probably win the game, you know? I mean... But I think Nick was 4 for 13 from the field. I don't remember what Mariel was, but it wasn't very good.
Yeah.
And a lot of his makes came right at the end of the game when they were trying to speed everything up anyway and kind of mess the game up.
Yeah. And then Lindell and Talen both kind of had inefficient shooting days as well. It was just unfortunate part of basketball season is having off nights. So, and that was what happened.
Yeah. So how do you feel about the Big 12 race now coming out of that one?
Well, obviously I think Kansas State, at this point, is in the driver's seat, although they had the injury got announced today.
Yeah, Cartier Jada out for
a while.
Yeah, an extended period of time. I would guess that he probably won't play at least the rest of the regular season.
It's a broken hand, if I remember correct.
Something like that. I know he had hand surgery.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I guess they're still up in the standings technically, but also Kansas, man, it's looking like they could come up and at least grab a share of the title too.
Well, and that's kind of, I think that's what Fran said on the game last night, where it's like, this is how they do it.
Yeah.
You know, everybody beats each other up so much that then all of a sudden there's just one, one guy left standing and always it's freaking Bill Self.
Yeah. And that's the thing. All the dominoes fall, whether it's injuries or whether it's stupid losses that teams shouldn't have on the road or at home. Kansas always ends up on top, and that's just unfortunate.
Yeah, TCU should have won that game last night.
From what it sounded like, I was just watching my Twitter feed, and people were saying, "Wow, TCU looks terrible," but somehow they sent it to overtime still.
Well, I mean, they were up four with like a minute and a half left, up 69-65, and then Kansas scored four straight, able to tie it and send it to overtime.
Yeah,
and then I think kind of once they got to overtime, it was basically done. But
so I would say that regarding Iowa State, I think the upcoming game in Manhattan kind of becomes a must win if they want to have any shot at winning the Big 12.
Yeah, and it's kind of interesting too, because you, depending on what happens actually with the game tonight, I don't know what time that one is, with Kansas State going to Austin. I'm going to assume that that's at 8 o'clock. I'm going to assume Texas is going to win that game.
Okay.
That would just be my guess. I mean, I could be wrong.
Mm-hmm.
But then you get into that game on Saturday and you're everybody's one game back in the loss column and you win it. And then all of a sudden we were back right back in that five-way tie at the top situation, mm-hmm. you know. And here, I'll pull up the remaining schedules here. I can't remember who Kansas plays on Saturday.
Mm-mm.
I want to say they play West Virginia at home. So they're going to win.
That's a whole other story.
Yeah. So they'll win that one. But Baylor and Texas Tech play each other. So I guess it couldn't really be a five-way tie because one of those guys will get knocked off.
But you're within one or two games.
Yeah. Either way, if you hope that you kind of hope that Texas, I guess, wins tonight because everybody needs Kansas State to drop some games here. And the bright side, I mean, I guess the bright side for everyone else, you don't want someone to get hurt, but this is obviously, I mean, they rely so much on their like top six guys
mm-hmm.
that when you lose one, you don't know how big of an impact that can be. I mean, obviously, Jada is not...
He's not their go-to guy by any means.
Well, no, he's not Dean Wade by any stretch of the imagination, but he's still a guy who, you know, plays a... He's
one of their better defenders. And
62% of their minutes.
Yeah, he's a big hustle guy too, I know, just watching him the last couple of years.
They're 237th nationally in bench minutes. So, I mean,
yeah,
so they just don't use their depth. Like, they just don't have very much depth to where you lose a guy for an extended period of time. That could really hinder you.
So, on one hand, it's probably not going to be a huge... It's probably... Him losing him himself, it's not going to be a huge deal as far as scoring wise. But at the same time, there's going to be games where their starters have to play more, and it's probably going to make them more tired.
But let's be honest, they don't really score anyway. So
good point.
You know,
they're a little bit more defensive oriented. That's for sure.
I mean, that's what's crazy. I can't remember what I was reading. I was reading something today. I mean, what makes them so good is just how crazy they are defensively, and then they just do enough to score and win.
Yeah,
you know.
And that helps because they have such great guards who can, you know, handle the rock and get points when they need it down the stretch.
Well, that's why it seems like almost every game that they play is relatively
close.
I guess they haven't all been close, but I mean, most of them have been where I think it, going into kind of the last media timeout, you could see either team winning. But I mean, the Iowa State game was 1 point. West Virginia was 2 points. That's when they came back from down 21. Oklahoma was by 13. TCU was by 10. Texas Tech was by 13. Two of those were at home.
Mm.
Oklahoma State was by 18. So I guess maybe not. But then Baylor was by 7. And that game was really close right until the very end. Mm. And they kind of pulled away in that one. But yeah, I mean, it's like when you look at the stats, if you let them get to 70, you're basically going to lose.
Because their defense is that good.
Right. I mean, that's like what I'm seeing here. They've allowed 70 points.
What, once or twice probably?
There's one. Marquette. They lost 83-71.
So how about just
because? So that's the only time they've lost, I think, when they scored 70 points.
Really?
But I think in every other game that they've played, even their losses, Texas, they lost 67-47. Texas Tech, they lost 63-57. West Virginia, they scored 71 and won 71-69. Yeah, I think they've given up 70 or more points once the entire season.
Wow. That's really impressive in the Big 12.
Yeah. I bet you Texas Tech hasn't even done that. I'm going to look at Texas Tech.
Mm-hmm. Because they're the Big 12 program that everyone lauds nationally is the big defensive team.
There's one for Texas Tech. Okay, so no. Texas Tech, I think, has given up 70. Actually, yeah, once. They didn't even give up 70 to Duke.
And everyone knows how good Duke is.
Right. So, yeah, both of those teams are stupid good defensively. And then the difference is that Kansas State has enough guys mm-hmm. to where you can usually get yourself over the hump offensively. And then Texas Tech just has like the one.
Yeah, Jared Culver.
Right. And you do have Matt Mooney, but when you're so relying on those two guys, kind of puts you in a position where you can get in trouble if a couple guys are off, which we just saw
yeah.
on Saturday with Iowa State when you have a game where a couple guys are off and you're so reliant on perimeter players,
mm-hmm.
you can lose to somebody you shouldn't lose to.
So then as far as the Big 12 race goes, the game where Kansas State goes to Allen Fieldhouse is big. When's that coming up? Is that coming up in the next couple of weeks?
I think that might be next week. I can look here for sure. No, it's not next week. That's two Mondays. Well, a week from next Monday.
Okay.
So the 25th.
All right. That's going to be a pretty huge game as far as sorting out who's going to be at the top.
Yeah. So here's their remaining schedule. They've got Texas tonight. KenPom has that as a loss. Iowa State on Saturday. That's 51% win.
Essentially a toss-up.
So basically a toss-up game. West Virginia on the road, they'll win that.
Mm-hmm.
Oklahoma State at home, they'll win that. Two Island Fieldhouse, which...
Who knows nowadays, man?
I mean, man, they could win. You know, yeah. I would not pick it. I definitely wouldn't pick it.
Yeah.
But I could see it, I guess. At home against Baylor, they should win that one. On the road at TCU, I'd say that one's probably a toss-up. And then home against Oklahoma.
Okay. So, yeah, a couple big games against Iowa State and Kansas. For sure.
Yeah.
Other than that, I would say they at least have a shot in all those other games.
Yeah, I mean, I think if anybody's going to win it outright, it would probably be them at this point, you know?
Yeah.
And I'm starting to lean towards it's just going to get split by
I do think
several different teams.
Kansas, like we discussed, they have a shot at getting in there, but I think if they do, it's going to be a co-shared kind of thing.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to win it outright. Cause here, let's look at their schedule. I did all this stuff last week, but I remember it for as long as it takes me to write it.
It's a lot to remember.
Home against West Virginia. Obviously, that's a win. On the road at Texas Tech. I would guess that they will lose that one, but I'm not certain. Home against Kansas State. On the road at Oklahoma State. Never know. On the road at Oklahoma. I don't think you never know. And then home against Baylor. Yeah. So even if they won all the rest of those home games and then lost to Texas Tech on the road, lost to Oklahoma on the road, which is a toss-up on KenPom, and then I think that Oklahoma State and the Kansas State game could both kind of just go either way. I think I wouldn't be shocked if Oklahoma State beat them in Stillwater. I mean, as bad as they've been on the road outside of every game outside of basically last night.
KU's been especially bad in Stillwater in recent years too.
Yeah. I don't know. But that would give them 7 losses in the league.
Mm.
So I guess we just have to hope some people beat them.
Yeah.
They lose 3 more games.
We have to hope that Kansas continues not being good on the road.
Hope Kansas goes 3-3 down the stretch. That would be...
I think we do want Kansas to beat K-State just for the sake of giving K-State another loss.
Yeah, I mean, unless they lose tonight and then Iowa State beats them.
That's true. So a lot kind of depends on this week.
Yeah.
Still.
Because then at that point... Iowa State has Baylor coming to Hilton on Tuesday, and their last 5 are at TCU. Man, I think they'll win that game because I think they'll be a lot more focused against them the second time around than what they were the first time.
Yep.
Home against Oklahoma, they'll win that. Texas on the road.
I pick that as a loss.
Yeah,
personally.
I would probably pick that as a loss as well. West Virginia at home is a win. And then Texas Tech at home, I think, should probably be a win as well.
Mm-hmm.
But
you never know.
And if you do that, I mean, you're right there in the... I mean, that's 12-6. You're right there in the conversation.
That could grab a co-finish. We'll see.
I wonder when the last time the league with, you know, 5, 6, right around their games remaining, had this many teams that were still within one or two games of the league title.
Definitely not in the Big 12 for a while.
Yeah.
It's always KU at the end.
Well, yeah. And even then, like, always KU will end up like three games ahead of somebody,
yep.
You know? And I mean, even if they were going to win the league this year, I can't imagine them winning by three games.
No.
You know?
Yeah. There's no scenario. Unless everything just goes.
Unless something completely crazy happens.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which, like, if Ochai Agbaji just continues to be like the greatest basketball player in the history of America,
averages 40 points a game the rest of the way.
Dude, I was talking to my buddy last night. Like, that's just, man, if you ever need something to just prove what it's like to be a blue blood program, you know, you can point to the McDonald's All-Americans and all that kind of stuff. And obviously you would have a very good argument, but I think you could point to Kansas getting a guy like that. And then you were going to redshirt him. And then he comes in and he starts dropping 20 in Big 12 games. Yeah. And he becomes like an above average Big 12 starter.
He's arguably their best perimeter player at this moment.
I don't think it's even arguable. He looks like he might be their best player in the last two games.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he had 27 against Oklahoma State. He had 20-something last night. I wonder what he's averaging. That guy's been so good.
It's a good question.
We're going to hate him, dude.
Yeah.
I'm going to guess that he won't even... I wouldn't be shocked if he doesn't even play out his eligibility. Like, he'll end up in the NBA or something.
I bet he'll stay one more year and he'll go after next season.
All right. So he has played in... Now, 11 games. He scored in double figures in 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. So 5 of them.
Okay.
I guess, but
those were big scoring games.
Yeah. And they're all where he's really efficient. He's like been their only guy. I mean, he's shooting 40% from three.
Mm-hmm.
He's 42% from three in Big 12 play.
Yeah. Well, he's kind of had to get with Vic being out, you know?
Damn it. Like, this is so stupid, dude.
That's Kansas for you.
A comparable season on KenPom is Dante DiVincenzo in 2017.
That's a nice comparison.
Which I think would have been the year that they
won the Natty.
No. Did they? No. He last year was when he was really good.
Oh.
So that was like his freshman year.
Okay. But they were still. Well, that was the year they won the Natty.
But 2 years ago they didn't win. That was when North Carolina won.
Who won last year?
Villanova.
Oh, it was last year. Okay, so yeah. Villanova won 3 years ago.
Villanova's won 2 out of 3.
Okay, yeah. That's right. Yeah, that's
he was redshirting as the first one, and then North Carolina, isn't that right? North Carolina won. Yeah. And then Villanova won again.
Yep. All right.
Let's answer some mailbag questions.
All right. Final Four Sai asks, next year's leading scorer in basketball. Obviously, it depends on who stays. If you had to ask me to give one prediction, I'd probably go with Talen Horton-Tucker.
That's what I was just going to say. Yeah, I'd say THT.
Because I think with losing Shaq's production, I think you're going to want someone on the wing to, you know, pick up that scoring. And I think he's going to be more adjusted to the college speed of the game. I think he's going to be a bit more efficient with his with his shot selection too.
Yeah, I would put all of my
eggs in that basket.
Yeah. Yeah.
I could see Lindell Wigginton coming back too.
If he came back, then I think that he'd be the only other person that...
He'd be the only other guy that
I'd consider.
Yeah, but I even with both of those guys coming back, I think I'd still pick THT next year.
Right. Yeah, I mean, Tyrese, like, I don't know.
He's never.
It's not going to be him.
Yeah, he's not going to be hunting for a shot enough. Nixon is another candidate.
Yeah, I mean, he's another guy, I guess.
I could see him becoming a little bit more of a distributor with Iowa State, though, because he kind of had to shoulder the load last year.
I think that next year, I'm guessing that, assuming Lindell doesn't come back, then it will be Tyrese will be the primary ball handler, and then THT and Prentice Nixon will be like the
off guards
wings. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I think that maybe that's what Nixon was better at at Colorado State, if I remember correctly from what I've been told.
He was more of a combo guard. He wasn't necessarily a full-time point.
Yeah. So I would guess that would probably be most likely. Okay. I would be shocked if Lindell was back, though.
Well, I'm glad we're both on the same page with THT there.
Yeah, I think that's pretty much a no-brainer right now.
All right.
But we would have said the same thing last year about Lindell Wigginton. So.
Very true. Things can change.
Yeah.
All right. Jay Bindem asks, what is the worst month? It's February, right? Has to be February. It's even spelled stupid just to piss me off that much more.
Yeah, I think February is probably right up there.
April's up there for me just because that's like the end of basketball season and it's like usually wet and windy.
Right. I was going to say, I think, yeah, April, there's a case for April. But that also, I mean, I know people that are baseball people, like they'll always say yeah. that's what opening day is.
I do look forward to baseball, but obviously the biggest sports are football and basketball. Neither of those are going on at that point.
Yeah. The only thing with February is, I mean, you got the Super Bowl right at the beginning of the month.
Yeah. You can make an argument for January too, just because like it's after Christmas and all that stuff. The holiday season's over and it's like
everything's so discombobulated for like the first 2 weeks of the year.
It is.
Oh, 2 weeks of
and
January.
It's usually the coldest part of the year.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, in January it was already dark. Like when we were recording this podcast, it's not dark yet.
Yeah, that's true.
That's one positive.
Positive to February there.
The dog days of winter hopefully are slowly moving past us.
Yeah. I guess for April, it's nice that the weather's probably finally warming up at that point.
Uh-huh.
But again, it's not like you still want to be outside that much.
What about July? How good of a month is July?
See, I just like July just because, I don't know, it's warm. Like you feel like going outside.
Yeah, that's true. And then that's, I guess too, like that's when there's the least stuff going on.
Yeah.
So like there's the most like time for just leisure.
Independence Day too.
Oh yeah, 4th of July.
A good holiday.
Man, what am I thinking? You're right. Yeah, I think that's either got to be February.
August is interesting because it's kind of like preseason football time, which is exciting, but at the same time, you're not quite there yet.
Right.
And it's still hot as crap outside and everyone's getting ready to go back to school if you're still, you know, a student
mm-hmm.
or a teacher. So
I think we could come up with the pluses and minuses of every month.
True.
You know,
you could. I would say that fall is becoming my favorite season.
Yeah. I like the summer just because it's more relaxed.
Yeah. And you can do stuff in the summer.
Right.
So,
yeah. I think we'll agree on February with April being a close second.
I'm cool with that.
Okay. Is there anything else? Or is that all?
That's it.
All right. We will take a quick break. We'll be right back on Stands and Fits presented by the professional MBA program at the Ivy College of Business at Iowa State in the Carl Chevrolet Studios on the Cyclone Fanatic Podcast Network.
Hey guys, it's Chris interrupting this podcast because, you know, everybody wants to know that I get it asked all the time. How can we help Cyclone Fanatic? Well, you help Cyclone Fanatic by you support our advertisers. And everybody needs to be aware of eye care. I wasn't for a long time, and I went to Ames Eye Care, and they really helped me out. It's changed my life. I don't have headaches the way that I did. You've heard me talk about this. They're also in Des Moines at Des Moines Eye Care. And you need to think about this with your family. Get the kids checked out. Encourage the wife. Anything. Personalized eye care. Designer eyewear. I've got these sweet Maui Jim glasses that I use at work all the time. People think they look awesome. They meet your whole family's vision needs at Ames and Des Moines Eye Care. Check them out today and support Cyclone Fanatic.
Hey guys, it's Jared here with another message from MechDyne. Are you looking to jumpstart your IT career? Or maybe you're a student looking to earn some extra cash? Well, listen up. MechDyne is currently looking to hire both full-time and part-time IT help desk agents to respond to and help troubleshoot client IT technical issues. You can get your foot in the door at an awesome company with a super fun culture that I've seen firsthand with my own eyes. So go visit the career page at MechDyne.com. That's MechDyne.com. Check them out today.
Welcome back to the Carl Chevrolet Studios. Time for Hot and Not. We've got everything else sponsored. We should see if we can get Hot and Not sponsored.
That's true. Is there
maybe by like a heating and cooling
company? I was just thinking that. Like an HVAC system.
Yeah.
Somewhere.
Yeah. If anybody owns a heating and cooling company and wants to
sponsor Hot and Not.
Sponsor Hot and Not weekly on
get at us.
Stands and Fits presented by the professional MBA program at the Ivy College of Business. Recorded weekly in the Carl Chevrolet Studios.
I made a comment off air that Jared was getting really good at reading off the sponsors without losing his breath. So,
yeah, it took me a while because it's a mouthful.
It is,
you know. Yeah. But no, now I'm getting used to it. So, yeah. All right, do you want to go first? You want me to go first?
We can address mine first.
Okay,
my beautiful white boy ups. That's what's hot this week.
Man, I'll give you props, dude. You got it.
Thank you.
You did
fairly easily, I might add.
Yeah, you did.
Thank you.
You did. I'll give you props. Did you guys win your game?
No.
Or did you use all your energy trying to grab the rim?
Well, I'm like the last scorer on our team, uh-huh. So it's not my fault. But yeah, we got our butts kicked. It was also the by far the best team in our division, and we shot like crap, so we got stomped.
Was your video one take?
It was.
Oh, okay.
I have a a buddy who can provide proof.
That would have been funny if it's like, you see his iPhone, it's just like 20 different videos of you like just barely grazing the rim, and you're like, no, I've got to grab it. Like, I got to show him that I can do it.
It reminds me of one of my favorite parts of the Lego movie, which I saw Lego movie part two over the weekend, but like when Batman's throwing all those batarangs and he's like, first try.
Yeah.
It's a good time. But yeah, it was first try, and I still got the ups, man.
All right, man. I'll give you props.
Thank you.
I underestimated you. I'm sorry.
I may be fat, but I can still get up.
It's fair. I should have made my own video to get you back.
That's the thing. Like, I can touch the rim, but you can still flat out dunk. So you've got me. You got me beat there. That's for sure.
It's okay. I'm not here to.
You also have 6 inches on me.
I would say I'm not here to vertical shame anybody.
True. Yeah.
All right. My hot this week is Monte Morris and Deonte Burton. Both guys had big nights last night. Monte had 17. I think Deonte had 18 for the Thunder. Monte will also be back next week for the game against Baylor.
I saw you added on the document that he will be with a couple others. What do you mean by that? Do you mean NBA guys? Do you mean?
Yeah, I think there'll potentially be a couple more guys.
From the Nuggets?
Yeah, no, not from the Nuggets, but I think the former Cyclones.
Oh, okay.
Well.
Okay. That's cool. I was surprised that Deonte had 18. Like, you kind of expect Monte to have a good game nowadays, but at the same time, Deontay's been up and down with the G League, so good to see him back up and scoring as much as he did.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I think Deonte's going to stick with them.
I think so too. He's got a lot of power for playing the shooting guard position, so he can definitely use his athleticism at the NBA level.
Yeah. Sorry.
It's fine. There's a small contingent of Thunder fans who are like becoming the Deonte Burton fan club just because he dunks all the time and he's super athletic.
Right.
It's fun to be a fan of him.
He's so fun. He's such a fun player. Yeah. All right. What's your not?
My not is the Pittsburgh Steelers. They're obviously going to lose Le'Veon Bell to free agency. And today Antonio Brown came out and tweeted that he's done in Pittsburgh.
Yeah, that was a weird deal.
He requested a trade. And then also I saw Stephen A. Smith. Okay, so Antonio Brown, this is what he tweeted. He said, thank you, Steeler Nation, for a big 9 years. Time to move on and forward. Peace sign. And then he a highlight video of his time. Stephen A. Smith replied to that tweet and he said, yo, at Steelers, do not listen to this. I hear Antonio Brown. I hear his frustration, but he is too great to let go over this. Y'all are grown men. Work it out. Find a way. Because you don't just replace AB. Damn it, y'all got me riled up on a sick day. I'm supposed to be resting. Hashtag damn. So, Stephen A. Smith is expressing that he wants the Steelers to not let him go.
Man, that's a hell of a deal.
It's funny to me because there's like one tweet that Stephen A. Smith tweeted that was like complete garbage at one point, and it keeps on getting retweeted. Have you seen that?
Was it the Dwayne Haskins one that he had?
No. I'm talking like gibberish. He butt texted.
Yeah, he's done that a bunch of times. It was funny. Yeah. Like, his old tweets were really weird.
Yeah.
Before anybody figured out to use Twitter.
It makes me question whether he actually knows like how to actually use Twitter.
Yeah. I don't think that he probably does.
Probably not.
I mean, Stephen A. just like is screaming at things all the time. So.
That's what he gets paid to do, basically.
Right. Yeah. So I think that I'm not going to take Stephen A.'s opinion for anything.
No.
You know. All right. So my not this week. Nebraska has taken a very serious backslide. And people might remember that I tweeted out at the beginning of the season, I think it was, I can't remember who they were playing, but at the time they were like a top 20 team, playing really well. Mm. All the analytics had them as one of the top teams in the country. I said that if Nebraska did not win a game in the NCAA tournament this season, I would get Barry Collier's face. Barry Collier being an incredibly mediocre basketball coach at Nebraska in the early 2000s into the, kind of the mid aughts. I would get his face tattooed on my backside. In the time since, Nebraska has gone into complete nosedive territory. I think they've lost 6 in a row, maybe 7 in a row, something like that, something stupid. Isaac Copeland, who is arguably their 1B player, second best player, tore his ACL, is out for the rest of the season. They can't score. They can't defend anyone. They don't have anybody that can come off the bench. I am going to probably have to get a Barry Collier tattoo on my butt, and I'm very, very concerned about it.
So what I'm hearing is essentially you're going to be Nebraska's biggest fan during the Big Ten tournament.
Yeah. like if anybody out there in the world is really hoping that Nebraska basketball can turn it around, it is me. It is me.
I mean, if you really wanted to do the cop out, you could just get a super like micro tattoo on your butt.
Man, me and Chris were texting about this the other night. Like he's dead set on that I have to do this.
I think it'd be only fair though that you have to get Chris to make this kind of bet on something at some point too.
See, and the problem is I don't think, like, Chris already almost got beat on one of those, so I think that he like learned his lesson. And I think I got cocky on the Bill Snyder one.
Yeah, you did. And I was going to bring that up too.
Yeah, I got cocky with the Bill Snyder one, and I like upped the ante and did something like drastically more outlandish. At the time it seemed like a pretty safe bet, you know? Like yeah. They were playing really well. I mean, they were one of the, like I said, they were a top 20 team, like, and it would have almost been unfathomable to think that they would be in this position. But also, I should have been keeping in mind that this was Nebraska basketball.
Yeah.
And when things are going good, they're almost always going to stop going good.
Yeah.
Relatively quickly.
Very true. So and remind me, when you made the Bill Snyder bet, that was on your chest, wasn't it?
I think so. Yeah.
So you in all your genius, decided to move to the rear end for this one. And now it's literally biting you in the butt.
Right now, I'm thinking about just how expensive that would be. That would be the most expensive bet that I've ever made in my life, probably.
Do you have any tattoos?
No.
I don't either.
Like, and I don't know. That would be really bad if that's my first one.
They're pretty expensive, aren't they?
Yeah. Yeah, that would be really bad.
It would. It would not be something that you'd be proud to show your mom. That's for sure.
Absolutely not. And that's the problem, is I know that when Chris, like, if I can't, I'm working my every angle that I can to try and get myself out of this.
I'm trying to think of ways that you can make better of it. Like you could get the tattoo and then turn it into something like bigger, maybe, or something. Or I don't know, you wouldn't want to like pay for it extra or anything, but like, could you make it so, I don't know, make it so it's not just his face, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know.
Maybe. Well, I know it hurts like hell to get it removed, but you could just, you know, get it, have it for a week and then get it removed.
Man, that would be even more expensive.
Yeah. Well, do you want the guy's face on your butt your whole life? I can see the stress melting out of you right now.
I should not make stupid bets.
Yeah.
That's what I've learned here. Last time I ever say that I'll get a tattoo of any middling basketball coach.
Maybe you just have to bargain somehow. Agree to do something different that's like arguably worse, but it's not going to be permanent, you know?
See, that's the problem. Like, that will last the rest of my life.
Yeah. Ink never fades, bro.
Man, I think I just need to keep thinking about this. Because you know that if I cop out, like, I'm going to take a serious hit. My credibility will take a serious hit.
Yeah. Like, you should do the kind of thing, make a deal where, like, if they can videotape you, like while you're getting it, but not have it on your butt or anything like that, but like get your like facial reactions, like that can lessen it somehow. I don't know. I'm trying to help you out here.
I don't know. I think I just need to keep thinking about it. Yeah. I'll figure out a way. Figure out a way to get out of this. All right. Let's do Would You Rather. 1 to 250.
Let's do 16.
Would you rather be able to run as fast as a cheetah or fly, but only as fast as a tortoise?
Ooh,
man, did you hear the story about the people that found the tiger?
No, I did not.
I didn't read it. I saw a headline. It said that some guys were like breaking into a vacant house or something because they wanted to find a place to smoke weed, and they found a tiger.
Really?
Live tiger.
It was someone's pet?
I don't know. Apparently.
Was it full grown or was it?
Yeah, it was like a huge tiger.
Really?
Yeah.
So it's like a hangover situation.
Imagine if you just walked into somewhere and like all of a sudden there's just a tiger there.
See, I like cats, but yeah, tigers are totally different. I wouldn't know how to react.
Man, like you, I think I just wouldn't. Yeah.
Would you crap your
What's
pants?
What's the scariest animal that you think you could encounter and not just immediately panic?
Okay. So the scariest I can encounter and not crap my pants. Probably. I think I'd go up to a gorilla. I'd be scared of Gorilla, but I don't think I'd crap my pants scare.
Yeah, I think you'd be able to tell enough, like, whether or not a gorilla is, like, mad at you.
Yeah.
You know? Whereas, like, with a tiger, I feel like they could just pounce, like, at any moment.
Yeah. And
like, that's
feel
a jungle
like,
cat, man.
Yeah, exactly. And I feel like, you know, I'd have, I don't know, for whatever reason, gorillas to me, I know they're super strong and it could probably do the same kind of damage that a tiger could, but I don't know. I just don't find a gorilla as intimidating as a tiger, personally.
All right, but...
That's not even the wood
you're
out of.
Yeah, the tortoise or the cheetah?
I think I'd go with the cheetah just because that seems like it'd be super useful if I could just run places super fast.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like if you could fly, though, like, even if it's at the speed of a tortoise, like, you'd still probably be able to move pretty fast. Like, you'd cover ground relatively quickly.
Like,
because everything could be in a straight line, you know?
Yeah, but wouldn't you say that, like, a tortoise probably, what, averages 1 or 2 miles an hour fastest? Maybe even that?
Maybe. I mean, what's the... Here, I can Google the max speed of a tortoise.
Do it. Because this will influence my answer. I'm pretty sure it might even be slower than that. In which case, if it is, then I'm not gonna pick that.
0.63 miles per hour is the record for fastest tortoise.
The record.
According to the Guinness Book of World Records.
Okay, yeah. So I'm going with cheetah just because even though you could fly in a straight line, you could still get places faster if you could run that fast.
I feel like you could also monetize that somehow.
Oh, absolutely.
Well, I mean, obviously you could monetize it if you could fly too. But
you could win Olympic medals by being as fast as a cheetah because obviously no one's that fast.
Right.
So,
yeah. Okay. All right. Let's do one more.
62.
Would you rather sleepwalk every night or sleep talk every night?
Sleep talk, just because.
Yeah, definitely sleep talk.
I mean, yeah, my wife would be annoyed, but it's not like I'm going to wake up somewhere that I didn't realize I was.
I feel like that would be more embarrassing, like, if you didn't have a wife, you know?
Yeah. And you know, another
thing, if you're in a situation where you could be sleeping with someone, like, I mean, like, when you first meet your wife, like, and your first time you sleep with them, then you, like, have to say, like, hey, I'm just going to give you a heads up, like, I sleep. Or I talk, like, in my sleep a lot, like, every night. I'm telling you.
At the same time, sleepwalks, it's more a little more freaky, in my opinion.
Right.
It also would depend on
what would freak out a person, like, a new person more, like, if you say that you sleepwalk or if you sleep talk?
Definitely sleepwalk, in my opinion.
Yeah. Like, if you get up and, like, we're not really going anywhere.
Now, it depends on, if the question was I sleep talked and always said, like, negative bad things or things that aren't true,
uh-huh.
then that would be something that would probably make me take sleepwalking instead. But if it's just like talking gibberish and about crap that doesn't matter, then yeah, I'd sleep talk.
Yeah, I think I'd probably have to agree. All right, we can do one more. That wasn't a very good one.
All right, let's finish with 128.
Ugh. Would you rather wash all your dishes using your tongue or wash your pets using your tongue?
Well, okay, I don't have any pets, but my parents do, I guess. So they have a dog and cats. So I'll use them as an example, but definitely dishes, I would think, just because all the dishes are going to have stuff that was food at one point anyway.
Would probably be more motivated to just do your dishes right away.
Yeah.
And not, like, let food get gross.
That's
a
very good point because at that point you'd be stuffing yourself silly with leftovers. Ugh. I mean, obviously I wouldn't look forward to that, but it's not like,
no, I'm not even thinking of it that way, dude. I'm just like thinking. You know, like if you don't do the dishes for 2 days or whatever and like it just sits there and it's
because I don't do rotten milk well. And yeah, I've left leftover milk dishes and yeah, those get a little nasty at some point. But at the same time, if you want to clean your pets using your tongue, that could get worse because you think about every inch of your pet you have to lick.
Oh, God.
Yeah, so that's much worse, right? Think about it that way. I would much rather, you know, stomach rotten milk if I had to. So...
All right. Well, I'm glad we
finished on that note.
I'm glad we settled that one. Yeah. All right. Thanks for listening to episode 56 of Stands and Fits, presented by the Professional MBA Program, the Ivy College of Business at Iowa State. Been recording in the Carl Chevrolet Studios, as always, on the Cyclone Fanatic Podcast Network. Subscribe, leave a rating on iTunes or wherever you may find your podcasts. We'll talk to you guys again soon. Beat the Wildcats. Peace.